You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show, which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon, I'm Louis Sainz, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today is Christina Montoya. Christina is Vice President for Marketing and Public Relations.
Communications.
Mm-hmm. With the El Paso Water Utilities. And of course, if you haven't noticed, then probably you love hot weather. But it's getting hot. Actually, we had some nice days, but I like cold weather better. However, it's time to talk about water and water conservation. A lot of people drink water during the summer because, you know, we just sweat so much. But with us is Christina to tell us a little bit about some of the tips that we can use for conservation, and also the fact that, well, it's already Saturday, but this last week was Water Drinking Month or Water Appreciation Month?
National Drinking Water Week.
National Drinking Water Week. So I hope you drank a lot of water. And I know that when we go to restaurants, which is not very often, we often order water. So, Christina, thank you very much for being with us here today. And one of the things that we want to talk about is you mentioned that El Paso is very good about following rules, conservation. However, just like all families, and El Paso's a family, we sometimes have, you know, guys, this month we're going to tighten our belts a little bit because things are going to be a little bit short. So you're going to tell us about what's coming up.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's important that people pat themselves on the back here in El Paso because we're conservation leaders. You know, we get calls all the time from other parts of the state, especially. I know other parts of Texas are really having serious problems with the drought. So El Pasoans have been practicing conservation for over 20 years, and they've been doing a great job. But the problem is we need to continue that. And we have a lot of new homeowners, a lot of people who were young when conservation first started, they're now the new homeowners. So they need to learn these conservation ways of life to continue what we've already started here. Now, what's important right now, and you probably noticed when you drive by the river or anybody, when you drive by Paisano or any other part of the Upper Valley, it's so dramatic. I mean, you see the river. You see it's completely dry. And that is something that is not usually happen at this time of the year. Usually at this time of the year, that river is flowing. It's going to our treatment plants. We're treating it. It's going into our system. And many people may not realize that normally on a typical year, we'll rely on that river for up to 50% of our supply. The other part is our groundwater underground aquifers that we rely on. But right now, we're solely relying on those groundwater, on those aquifers, because we do not obviously have any river water at all. And what's even more, I think, important for people to understand is that we're not going to get it for another few weeks. The gates at Elephant Butte, since the levels there are so low, I'm sure, you know, like you said, everybody's seen photos of the butte and how it just keeps dropping and dropping and dropping. You'll see those rings on the butte actually come down and down and down, because over the years we've just been going through so many years of drought. Out of the runoff into Elephant Butte out of the last 12 out of the last 15 years, it's been less than normal. So we're not talking about this year, last year. We're talking about years in the making that butte just hasn't had a chance to catch up. And that's where we get our source from for the river. That's what empties into the river. So they made a decision not to open up until late to make sure that they can supply everyone with at least some amount of water for the really hot part of the summer. But what that means for us is that we're going to have to continue to rely on that groundwater for a period of time when it usually gets really hot. The demand usually increases because people are using their air conditioners, they're irrigating outside, you know, they're using more water, and we're not getting as much precipitation. That usually comes in July. So that's what our concern is. We really want to reach out to people and for them to understand that really from, you know, right now until the first week of June, we really are going to need you to step up your conservation measures. We've been doing a great job, but you really need to pay more attention to what you're doing. You may not realize that you're wasting water, and you really might be doing it.
On social media, Facebook, a lot of people like to talk about, remember this, remember that in the old days. And you know, when I was a kid, I remember, too, we used to, you know, our mom used to kind of hose us down, you know, when it's hot, or we would drink water from the hose, the sprinklers, whatever. You can't do that right now.
I mean, you could, but you shouldn't. You really need to be more mindful of how you're using your water. And I think it all comes down to, I think, unfortunately, what I've learned since I've been, you know, with the water utilities, that people don't value water. You know, you go to these other countries where they don't have drinking water that comes to their tap. They have to walk 3 miles to get water and bring it back. I mean, it's a little bit of drastic of comparison, but I mean, I think really a lot of us take for granted every day what it takes to get the water to their to our tap. And I tell my children every morning when they're brushing their teeth, you know, you need to turn it off. You know, you never know when it may not be there. You know, just be thankful for what we do have. And I think that's kind of a mindset that us in the water industry, we're always struggling with helping people understand, you know, that they need to value that water. So that kind of goes into play with what we're talking about. I mean, you know, if you use it and you can reuse it, if you're washing your dishes and you have lots of water left in the sink, use that to water some of your plants. I know when I always have my water bottles that are left with water, I'll go water my plants in the house with that same water, the dog bowl. You know, there's lots of little things that you can do. But there's lots of easy things, too, just following our watering schedule. And that's a huge thing for us. We implemented that schedule back in 1991. And what people may not understand why it's so important, you know, it's based on your odd and even addresses. You have 3 days a week to water. Is that especially during the hot periods of the summer, our plants can provide so much water. So if everybody was watering on the same day, you can imagine that would just make the demand go through the roof. But if everybody takes their turns and waters in the days they need to, then we'll be able to more easily meet that demand. Now, about the watering schedule, people need to understand that you have those 3 days, but it doesn't necessarily mean you need to use all 3 days. You know, we've try to put the word out there and educate people. And I know, you know, we practice it at my house that some lawns don't need to be watered. Sometimes once a week is enough. You can water very deep and less frequently. And sometimes that helps your grass and your roots become more drought tolerant rather than watering it 3 or 4 times a week. You really can get by on that. So we're really trying to spread the word on that. The watering schedule is really important, and also efficiently in terms of your bill. If you're watering at noon on a day when it's 110 degrees, a lot of that water is going to evaporate. If you're watering when it's windy, you know, all that water is going to go away and you're wasting water. It's also, you're going to end up using more and you're going to pay more for it. And you're also, you know, wasting a valuable source. So
now, as far as drinking water, I'm wondering, because people are buying bottled water more or having water bottles, has that taken a little bit of strain off?
You're going to be amazed. And when I tell people this, they really don't understand how much they think, oh, well, we'll cut back or we'll buy bottled water and that'll help conserve. How much do you think drinking water in your home takes up in the use of water in your home? How much of a percentage do you think that is?
Bottled water?
No. Like, if you drank from the tap, how much do you think of usage in your home that makes up?
Oh, gosh.
The percentage.
I would say about, if we use that, maybe 60, 70%?
It's 1%.
1%?
1%. The biggest water user in your home is outside irrigation. Next comes showering, washing machines. But really, you're drinking such a small amount when it's compared to how much you're using when you irrigate outside. So it's huge. So really, that's why on our end, we're trying to push people, follow the watering schedule, water at the right times of the day. Don't do it as much unless you really have to, because that's the big user, and that's where we really see the demand increase.
Maybe we need to do what they used to do in the Old West, and that's why the saying goes, don't throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because they used to bathe by age, and usually the baby was the last one, and that's
right.
When they would throw out the water, and whoops,
right.
What happened to little Joe? Well, he's outside. But as far as showering, you mentioned, There are some shower heads that you can adjust and you can turn off, and you all have some that you're going to be giving away, correct?
We do, and we've been giving them away, and we encourage you to come and pick some up at our Tech H2O Center, which is at 10751 Montana. If you haven't been out there, it's a wonderful learning experience for adults and children to learn where our water comes from. But you can go there and pick up a free water-efficient shower head, and you can take two of them if you have more than one shower in your home. And basically, if you don't already have a water-efficient shower head, if you replace one of your older models with one of these, you can save anywhere from 750 to over 1,000 gallons a month just by installing these shower heads. So it'll make a big difference on your bill, and it'll also help us. If you have two or three bathrooms, imagine how much that will save. So, and another thing you can do is just take shorter showers. I mean, I know I talked to some of my friends with teenage kids, and they said this is the worst thing. They're always in the shower for 10 to 15 minutes, you know. But if you can cut those back and be reasonable, I mean, you'd be surprised at how much water can be wasted when you take those long showers.
You put on cologne, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
What about as far as when you're talking about watering, last week and every year for I think the last 20-some-odd years, the museum across the street has the native plant sale. So the majority of El Paso is landscaped and, you know, with native plants. So as you mentioned, they don't need to water as if it were a golf course.
You don't. And even some of the grasses here don't need. And if you want some tips, you can go to our website, lessismoreep.org. That's our landing page for conservation tips. And we have some videos on there that you can do some testing with tuna cans that you really only need about an inch of water for your lawn to really get irrigated efficiently. So go to that website and you'll see a bunch of videos on how to do anything from irrigating efficiently, fixing leaks in your homes, installing water smart appliances. We're really trying to empower our customers with ways that they can do things themselves, how to do this at home yourself. And it can be done. And it brings me to our Less is the New More campaign. When I came in here, I brought you some t-shirts, but that's kind of one of our other big pushes right now. In addition to educating people about the drought, Less is the New More is our conservation campaign that basically the message is less, you know, is the new more. I don't know if you've seen any of the commercials or the billboards, but what's unique about them is they don't have a single drop of water in them. They all highlight situations where people are overindulging in things that they really don't need to be. One of them is a commercial with a old elderly lady putting on lots of makeup and she scares her granddaughter. And then it goes to telling people, you know, less is a new more, especially when it comes to water conservation. Another is of a teenager putting on too much cologne and he passes out, you know.
Oh, so, yes.
I don't know if you've
less
seen,
is the new more.
Less is the new
okay,
more.
Okay, I saw that. And
yes.
You know what I thought? I thought it was referring to materialistic things.
Well,
because, you know, a lot of us probably could use
less.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, we're talking about recycling and all that stuff. And a lot of our young people and us older people, too, are, you know, going to thrift shops. We're going to use clerk because vintage is in now. And people want to look, you know, some people, unfortunately, will go and pay $80 for a dress that they can buy at a used clothing store for $2. But with that in mind, the young people are really into recycling and the bottled water. And what I was going to ask you about is what about those 5-gallon containers when people go and buy water from some of these machines? Where does that water come from?
It could come from a variety of sources wherever.
What does it come from? Your company?
No, it doesn't come from us. But for
so
example,
they get built just like we get built.
If you this bottle right here that you have, the source is from the Dallas Public Water Supply. So we find that a lot of times a lot of these sources, I don't know, I mean, it would depend on which one you're talking about, but a lot of times they'll take municipal tap water and just filter it a little bit and then sell it. So, I mean, that's something just to keep in mind when you buy the bottled water that you're really paying for something. You're you know, pennies to get the water to your tap, and then you're paying, you know, a dollar or two just for a very small amount, you know. So we encourage people to drink from the tap. Our water meets and exceeds all federal standards. There's no reason not to do that. And if some people might have a feeling with a taste. I know you were mentioning a filter will take some of those tastes out. But I drink our water straight from the tap. I think it's great. I think it's some of the best tasting water.
And what about, like, you have a water bottle that you carry around a lot. And people have said one of the criticisms about bottled water, especially in our weather, that if you leave these out in the sun, if it has BP, it can cause cancer. And so you have to be careful about what kind of water bottle
it's
you
very
use.
True.
So what would you recommend, or what do you all recommend?
I recommend with my children and my family, we have these containers. And the neat thing about them is they keep the water really cool.
Are they aluminum, they metal?
Yeah, it's metal and it's insulated and it keeps it really cool. And I can reuse it again and again. And you know, we don't have any of the concerns, like you mentioned, about the chemicals leaching out when you leave it outside. So I know exactly where it came from. I know that it's been tested. We test our water sources. We're required to by the state, you know, every day. So that's my feeling. I promote drinking from the tap as much as you can.
Christina, let's go back to what you mentioned earlier, because when you said that we rely on 50%
sure.
of the water, you know, from our river, and the fact that there is no water there, I guess we want to put people at ease just to not worry that because we're not going to be able to do that till June or late June or July, not to expect to open their faucet and, you know, a fish come out or
sure.
dirt or something.
Absolutely. No, I'm glad you said that, because we kind of jumped topics and we didn't really finish talking about it. But what's important for people to know that, yes, it is different. We are going to rely on, and we knew this was coming last year with the drought. You know, our board took some measures where we decided to drill more wells so that we knew we were going to have to produce more groundwater from the aquifers. We knew that was going to be an issue. So we were prepared with that. We also had several projects be built that basically they're pipelines. One of them takes water from the northeast, where groundwater is plentiful there, and pipes it down to an area, kind of a central downtown area, that usually relies on river water at this time of the year and doesn't have the infrastructure or any wells nearby. So it's going to take that water and take it over to that area of town. So that area can rely more on the groundwater in this situation. So we've taken those measures. We have increased our ability to meet demand using other sources. We also have the desalination plant, which came in very helpful last year. We did pump that up to full capacity. It was designed for that very reason, so that when we are in situations like drought or emergencies, like in the February freeze, we did utilize that a lot. We try not to use that plant at full capacity all the time, because it is a little bit more expensive to process water at the desalination plant. That's basically removing the salt from the what they call brackish water, other than fresh water. But we've done a lot of things, and we have that. But that being said, there is a very thin margin in that period when we get really hot and the demand is going to really, really increase. You know, we have set an amount that we know we can supply, but if something happens, if demand exceeds what we're expecting, we need to make sure that we have a better margin of comfortability so we can continue to serve our customers. We don't want to have to say, you know what, we're in mandatory restrictions, watering once a week, or you can't water outside at all because we don't have enough water. We don't want it to come to that. So that's why we're coming out to people today saying, you know what, continue conserving, step it up a little more, be more responsible. If we can all pitch in, then we won't have to do things like what San Antonio and other parts of the state are doing right now. I mean, they're basically in stage 2 drought restrictions. They are watering once a week, and they have been for the past year. We haven't had to do that here in El Paso because people have been complying with conservation as a way of life. So that's kind of the message that we're trying to get out, is just keep doing what you're doing for this time period from now until June 8th. Step it up a little bit. Don't water 3 times a week if you don't have to. Just do it once or twice. And that will help us continue to serve you without having any interruptions.
What about businesses? They have automatic or timer sprinklers that sometimes you know, you'll see them at night and you're going, what the heck's going on? You know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. A lot of people have controllers for their irrigation systems and they set them up. And what happens with those can sometimes work in situations where you don't have changes. Like right now, we go through the time of day watering starting April 1st through September. You can't water after 10 a.m. or before 6 p.m. You can only water in the morning and at night. That's actually in our water conservation ordinance. If you don't follow that, that's a violation and you can face fines. So my point to bring that up is these kind of controllers, if you have something, if you have a business, if it's even in your home, you got to remember to go in and reset that because some people may have them set to water at a certain time of day during the winter, and they've got to remember to go back and reset that for the spring and summertime. If you see something and if you see that people are watering at the wrong time of the day, you can call our Water Conservation Department at 621-2000, and you can report any water wasting activity. We even have it on our website. If you go to lessismoreep.org, at the bottom of the page, there is a link where you can report water wasting. And we ask people, you know, to please do that. We do have inspectors that go and patrol the area. And when they get calls, they'll go out and they'll give a warning first and they'll talk to people and hope that they can fix the problem. But if they come back and it's not fixed, they'll give you a citation.
Now, as far as the tour that you talked about, that people can go to water utilities and learn more about water. Because, some people just figure, like, as you said, and we tell our kids, they turn the faucet on and that water's going to come out no matter what. But it would be very educational and very helpful, and even for us adults, to go and take a tour of your plants or your offices and find out what you all do, the processes that you use to make this water drinkable.
Absolutely. The Tech H2O Center is a really perfect place for that. It's right next door to our desalination plant, and you can arrange for tours at the plant, but you do have to call in advance to do that. As far as the Tech H2O Center, that's open to the public on Saturdays from 9 to 1. You can go in there at any time and tour it. During the week, it's utilized a lot by schools, and we get a lot of field trips. We probably had two yesterday and a couple more the day before. Right now, it's really busy. The facility has an auditorium, so it was designed to be a meeting place. So people want to have businesses, other organizations want to have meetings. They can rent out the auditorium for meeting space. There's other classrooms in there. They have conferences there. But at the same time, when they're there, they'll go through the exhibit hall and they'll learn about where we get our water from. So it's not only utilized by students, but it's also utilized by adults and other people in the community. And what's really neat about it, if you go to our website too, just epw.org, we have a if you click on video, there's a video of the Tech H2O Center. And my kids keep asking me, when can we go back? When can we go back? Because it's really, it's got a lot of hands-on. What they call a stamp that they have to go to each exhibit and get a stamp that they've seen everything. There's an exhibit on the wildlife that's in the Chihuahuan Desert. And they have actual, stuffed animals that, that are on display that show people what kind of life lives in the desert, what they rely on. And then there's another exhibit that talks about our river water, how we treat it, where it comes from, our groundwater, where it's the ocean beneath our feet. There's another exhibit that talks about purple pipe water, the wastewater that we process, basically sewage water that we process and use for irrigation purposes. So people can learn about that. And then it also talks about conservation. So there's like five different huge exhibits that people can go to and learn about where we get our water from.
And the big C, and I don't mean cancer, because thank God that's no longer a death sentence all the time. But conservation is important also because, as you mentioned, the river and the water in Elephant Butte irrigation, if those farmers and ranchers don't have that water, we're going to suffer too when we go to the grocery store.
That's true.
Because the prices will have to go up.
Yes, it's very unfortunate.
So we need to help them out.
Absolutely. And I think they're probably the ones that are going to be impacted. Obviously, they are impacted right now and will be more by this drought. Our customers in El Paso, the municipal area, really is a lot better off than how it's going to affect the farmers.
Now, because it's hot in El Paso, and I mean, somebody said, if you don't like the weather in El Paso, just wait 10 minutes, you know, and it'll change. What about people who have pools? Do you have special rules for them? Can they only fill them once, or how does that work?
Well, we prefer you to do it before the middle of the summer, obviously. We do have some rules that apply if we did go into stage 2 or 3 drought restrictions. That's only if we go into those type of restrictions. But pretty much right now, we just ask that you try to fill them up before the weather gets really hot. And we also encourage people to use pool covers. That's really a big thing in the summer because by doing that, you're preventing evaporation. You're preventing, you know, some of that water going away and then you having to refill it again. When people leave it open, it tends to evaporate more quickly, especially in the heat. So when you're not using it, we encourage people to cover them.
And I guess that's a good idea, especially for people who have in-ground pools, but above-ground pools or
yeah,
little pools.
Absolutely.
So they can cover them. That way they don't have to empty the water and
right,
fill it up
and
again.
Right, and it all goes back to it's not only helping us out, but it's your pocketbook. You know, it's a lot of money when you have to fill that up, you know. So it's better for you if you can cover it up and have to avoid filling it up again.
What about dishwashers? Because sometimes
absolutely.
People will, you know, just put – there are 3 or 4 dishes on the dishwasher and they'll run it. You know, it's something, and you can't, I mean, you survived without a dishwasher before when mom was the dishwasher or you were the dishwasher. And so I would imagine that that would be a perfect way to save
yes.
water as well.
Don't run your dishwasher unless it's full. That's a very big thing. Another thing you can do that's a really big water waster and people don't realize it is checking for leaks in your home. You know, a leaky toilet, that leaky faucet, that can waste thousands of gallons of water a month. And we've had situations where people have called, why is my bill so high? And we sent out somebody to go check it out. And they had a leaky toilet, you know, and that's all they had to do was just put a new flapper in and it was fine. So people need to really be aware of that, you know, and realize that, you know, a few drips may be annoying, but also may end up costing you a lot in the end. You can also, with your swamp coolers, that's one of our big water users in the summer is the swamp coolers. And a lot of El Paso still has them, even though we're encouraging people to switch over to refrigerated. You can install a thermostat. That really helps because that way it won't be on unless you really need it. It'll help control usage of the swamp cooler. Not everyone can switch over to refrigerated. You know, we understand that. But if you can't, try to install a thermostat on your swamp cooler, and that'll really help you control it.
Do you still have rebates, or is that gone already?
We don't. Right now, we currently don't, but we are giving away those free water-efficient shower heads that you can pick up at our Tech H2O Center. And I do want to say one more thing quickly. We are very active on social media, Facebook and Twitter. And starting next week, if you go to our page and like us on Facebook or Twitter, we are going to start giving away some prizes. We're going to ask people to start showing us how you're conserving water in your home. We're sponsoring the Neon Desert Music Festival this year. We're providing water out there for people at the festival. So if you want a chance to win free tickets, please go out and like our page next week. Look for updates.
Okay, so go to Facebook, but if you want to go to the webpage, it's epw.org.
It's epwu.org.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's the webpage. And then if you see somebody who's kind of sneaking, you know, watering plants going around the corner or something like that, call the water police, 621-2000. And this is very important because water is something that we all need. And if you need a low-flow shower head, and that doesn't mean that it's going to just drop, drip, drip, drip. These things work great.
They do.
And you can turn them off, right, when you're not using them. Are those the ones that have the little button? You don't have to be handy to put these on. And where do you pick them up? At the office?
At the Tech H2O Center or at our customer service center on Boeing. You can go to either of those locations. No, you just come and say you want one.
All right. And what is the number if people want additional information?
621-2000.
Christina, thank you very much for being with us here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sainz.